You are about to listen to a message delivered by Pete Scazzaro, Senior Pastor of New Life Fellowship and founder of the Center for Emotionally Healthy Spirituality in Elmhurst, Queens, New York. For more information or resources, visit our website at newlifefellowship.org or center4ehs.org.
All right, go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. All right, Matthew 6, and we're in a series, actually the eighth part of a series, if you're visiting here, called Learning to Pray, and we're taking apart the Lord's Prayer piece by piece, and it's been a great series, and we're now coming more towards the end, and we generally start our prayers actually with the ending. We usually get to God and say, okay, God, guide me, show me the way I should go, but actually that's our verse today, but it's at the end. Because Jesus says some things are more important. And let's begin reading in chapter 6, verse 7, where Jesus says, "When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So the Lord's Prayer was never meant to just be babbled like it was magic. It was meant to be, this is kind of an outline, a structure, a blueprint, a way to help us nurture and develop our prayer relationship with God. I mean, life is all about a relationship with God. And here Jesus is kind of giving us a framework on how to pray, all right? And so he begins very differently than us. I mean, he begins with the Lord's Prayer with our Father, or Abba, which is behind that Father, our Father, Abba in the heavens. And it begins just simply with instead of, "Lord, show me which way to go," it just begin with this. Just remember, this is you're in a relationship with the Lord God Almighty, the infinite of the universe, who now has made himself known as Abba. He's close to you, and he loves you infinitely. And like the prodigal son in Luke 15, he races towards you when he sees you. That's the nature of God. That's your Father in heaven. And so we begin prayer by just being in this relationship with Abba, Father. And then it begins, you know, "Hallowed be thy name." And the name is that Jesus has come to reveal is Abba. God is Abba. Yahweh has made himself known in the person of Jesus. That name, God, may I not fear but trust you and rest in you. And may your kingdom come, not my kingdom, but yours, that mustard seed, that slow kingdom. May your will be done, Lord, on earth, not my will. So you'll notice the prayer begins God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. And because generally that's like the last thing we get to, if we get to it at all. But Jesus, that's how you begin. Life is not about your name, your kingdom, and your will. It's about God's. And so we begin just kind of getting ourselves centered about that. And again, first, Lord, in my life, let it come, and then in those around me. And then you'll notice, then it's got the three petitions. And now we've done them. It's give us this day our daily bread. Then it gets to us. All right, now give us what I need for today, spiritually and physically. Remember, we did a whole exercise with bread. Thank you, Lord, for these gifts, spiritually and physically in my hands, for earth and sky and all those, all the hard work that went before. So just thank you. We want to pray today, Lord, give us what we need today spiritually so we can be sustained to do God's will today. And then it was forgive us our debts, forgiveness. You know, we all have an enormous debt, right, to God, and every day. And so we pray for forgiveness of our past as we approach God again afresh. And then, as last week, as we forgive those who have hurt us and sinned against us, which is the great, the bone in our throat, you know? God, help us release them. Do a miracle in us. And then we get to the third petition as it ends. Again, for us, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So today, actually, we're just doing this. Lead us not into temptation, but it's related to deliver us from the evil one. But next week, we'll get into the deliver us from evil. So let's take a minute. Let's just pray it, all right? And I'm going to pray it, and you pray it with me, kind of in your heart, because this is about a relationship with the living God and nurturing that relationship. So Lord, our Father, our Abba in the heavens, thank you, Lord, that we can call you Abba, that you're here, that we can say your name, we can be in your presence. We thank you. And just be still and just receive the embrace of God and his love and his nearness to you and to me. And Father, we thank you. You're not like any earthly father. And Lord, hallowed be thy name. Lord, may we trust you. May we not fear. May we know you as the true God, not create an image of you. May those around us, our family and friends and workplaces, may your name be hallowed on the earth, Lord. in New York City, in our country, in Iraq, may your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come, Lord. Not our kingdom, not what we think, but your kingdom come in our lives today, in our church, in the service, in the rest of this day. May your kingdom come, Lord. May your will be done, not our will, but your will on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Lord, give to us our daily bread. Grant us what we need today. Thank you for what we've eaten already physically. Give us the spiritual bread we need to do your will right now. Open up our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for all the hard work of so many that's gone into, even this morning, for us to receive bread from you. And forgive us, Lord, of our debts. Sins we know about, sins we're unaware of. Cleanse us. Wipe our slate clean, Lord, that we might stand before you in Jesus' righteousness and record alone. Give us a clean slate now through Jesus. And Lord, help us to forgive those who've hurt us. Do a miracle in us, Lord. Help us release them. And so now, Lord, this day we say, lead us not into temptation. Show us what that means, Lord, and how to really pray this for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you very much. Over the last few years, I have tried to introduce a variety of classic Christian practices. And they're called classic Christian practices because they're meant to help us nurture and grow in our relationship with God. And they've stood the test of time for the worldwide church. Things like Sabbath keeping, obviously that comes out of Judaism, and 3,500 years of Sabbath keeping, taking a rhythm of 6 days of work and one day of rest, and having a rhythm of life where we slow down. We've talked about things like having a rule of life and moved our membership and living our lives under, my life's about seeking God. We've talked about the daily office and cultivating a rhythm where we stop and pause 3-4 times a day. And that goes back a couple thousand years to Daniel and David and the times of Jesus and the early church. This pausing, not once a day for a quiet time, but 3 or maybe 4 times a day, just pausing to be with God. We've introduced meditation on Scripture, Lectio Divina, and praying Scripture and meditating on a verse and letting it sink in and go deep. That goes back 1,900 years. We've introduced the Jesus Prayer 2 weeks ago, right? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. That goes back 1,500 years. And we've introduced even the idea of a Christian year, the idea of ordering our year in a rhythm. Like the Jews did, had their festivals. The early church took on the life of Jesus of Christmas and Easter, and their life revolved around Advent and Lent and this idea of my life my year is not based on the secular year, but the very life of Christ. And then you might remember, I don't know, probably a couple of years ago now, and I've talked about it since then, the prayer of examine I introduced on it comes from actually Ignatius of Loyola, goes back 500 years, where at the end of your day, you stop and you're going to bed, and you think of your day, you review your day, and you pause and say, where was I conscious and aware of God's presence? And where was I unaware of God's presence? Where was there consolation in my day? And where was there desolation? And the point of that prayer of exam at the end of your day is to help us grow in sensitivity to the Spirit of God moving through our day. So I've introduced these various practices, and they're meant to help us nurture our relationship with God. They're not Scripture, obviously. They don't help you, you throw them out, but you find certain practices that help you grow in Christ. Now today, as we do this, you know, this petition, lead us not into temptation, I'm going to introduce another spiritual practice. I'm going to create one. This has been in existence not for 1,900 years or 500 years. This has been in existence for about 3 days. I created it myself. And it's the prayer of preparation. And that's our theme for today, because lead us not into temptation is a prayer of preparation as you go into your day. And so I've created a little exercise that we're going to do at the end after you understand the whole verse. And my hope and prayer is that you'll do it each day this week. At least it'll last a week. It may not stand the great test of time, but it is a great exercise. All right, so, you know, theologians have said this petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, is actually the critical one of the whole prayer. Because if you don't get this one right, you will not be delivered from the evil one. And as we'll see next week, you will go down for the count, and you will not be able to pray the rest of the prayer. And so getting this one out is pretty important. And what's interesting, if you look at the Lord's Prayer, it ends on a very negative note. I mean, it ends on a really abrupt, harsh note. Now, you'll notice that almost every time people are taught to pray the Lord's Prayer, they add a verse, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever and ever. If you'll notice, it's not in your Bibles. I mean, they added it because it's such a harsh ending. And it kind of leaves you heavy. Today's going to be a bit of a heavy message, all right, everybody? And so is next week, because it ends heavy. We start out, Abba, ah, you know, in the heavens, hallowed be thy name, yes, you know, it's wonderful. And all of a sudden, we're battling satanic forces at the end, you know? And it just leaves us there with a period, and here we are, you know? But Jesus is very much into reality, and he's obviously teaching us balance here. But spirituality, if it's anything, it's reality. It's not about escaping, using God to escape from the pain of life or escaping from the difficulties of life. It's engaging God and engaging life and all the difficulties and problems of life and in God moving through them. So this prayer really flows out of two realities. And that's kind of my structure today. I want to share with you that Jesus understands, as he teaches us, lead us not into temptation. Okay, so this lead us not into temptation, that's really our segment, all right? But deliver us from the evil one is how the whole prayer goes. Okay, so here's the first reality. Jesus wants you to know that as we engage God all through the day in prayer, and especially when we pray the Lord's Prayer, that we're involved in an intense spiritual battle. Now, the word intense is there on purpose. It's intense. Now, God loves you. He's your Abba Father, and he longs for you to enjoy him and to trust him, to relax, to do not fear. In fact, that's the most often quoted command in the Bible is do not fear. And because God knows that the joy and the abundant life that he offers us is found only in the quality of our trusting, our relaxing, our being still, and not being afraid and grasping and taking things into our own hands. And so he's inviting us to God invites us to trust him in all circumstances, that God is good and his love endures forever. But God knows this journey is dangerous and that it's difficult. And that along the way, he has to test us, to grow us and mature us. But as we get tested, we find ourselves confronted with demonic powers at the same time. So the great challenge of this verse, lead us not into temptation, is the word temptation. And actually, there's no way to translate it in English fully, because the word actually has two meanings. The best translation is lead us not into temptation, but you have to follow me, if you can, the process on how to get there. Because it's translated both in the Bible as temptation and as test. Lord, lead us not into tests. It could say that, but it's really not the best way to say it, as you'll see. The Bible says that God can tempt nobody. God doesn't. 1 James 1:13, God does not tempt us, it says in James 1. So why are we praying, lead us not into temptation, God, when God doesn't tempt anybody? Because it goes back to the meaning of this verse. And so it is true that deliver us from the evil one. There is an evil one, a demonic power that wants to crush you and cut you off in your relationship with God, instill fear in you, cause you not to trust God and quit him and the church, and get you to say, God's not good. God's not for me. He's not with me. These promises don't work for me. Christianity is working for everybody else but me. But God doesn't tempt anyone. But God does test all of his servants. He tested Abraham, Genesis 22. He tested Job. The whole book of Job is about a test. He tested repeatedly Israel in the wilderness. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted or to be tested, you know, by the devil. But he was a test to be, and he allowed himself to be tempted. David was tested. But what happens is Satan turns these tests into temptations. God tests you to grow you up and mature you. James 1, it says, you know, rejoice, my brothers, whenever you encounter trials of many kinds, because, you know, they come in all shapes and sizes, because this is the way your faith's going to develop perseverance and become complete and whole, and you won't lack anything. God's going to test you, he says. And but the events or experiences of your life that God brings into you are intended to shape your character and develop your faith. But then the evil one comes in and he tempts us to quit God and destroy our relationship with God. And so the best image is that of refining gold. What God does is, think of the word testing, or the word for temptation there. The word testing is used for gold in the New Testament. It was a process where a goldsmith would take a chunk of ore and put it in the fire. And you would find out from the, as it was put in the fire, whether it was revealed whether or not there's real gold here. And so God puts you in fire. He puts you in test to find out, is your faith real? Now, again, you can say, my faith's real until you go through difficulties. Then you find out you don't believe anything. But you don't know that until you're in a difficulty. And God says, I test my servants to reveal what is really there. And you can't know until you're in that fire. But secondly, it doesn't just, the fire doesn't just reveal it, your faith. It refines it and grows it. And in fact, they say for 1 ounce of gold, 100,000 ounces of non-gold has to be burned up. So think of your life, all the excess junk and attachments inside of you. God has to bring you into a process of testings where those, that which is not God, is burned up. All those things that cause you not to trust in God, and so that your faith grows and matures. Now, I don't know about you. That doesn't sound like great news to me. That God loves me so much. He has such immense love for you and me that from all eternity, he has designed all these tests for you to help you mature and grow in faith. So it may be something like, you know, a trusted friend lets you down. Or you trusted an institution. You relied upon this and it failed you. Or you had a vision of what your life was going to be like and your vision you realized was false. Or you discover that you're a lot less than you thought. So it may be something like a man with perfect health for 35 years gets a diagnosis from his doctor, you've got terminal cancer. Or a woman who's got the same job for 30 years. In fact, this happened to somebody in first service. She had her same job for 28 years, she said. And overnight, she was told, you're fired. There's been a corporate takeover and you're gone. Or test maybe something like, a young man at 25 finds himself addicted to whether it's drugs or alcohol or something else. He's got to finally admit it. And the test of being humbled and broken in that process. So there are all these, there's big tests like cancers and betrayals and traumas. But then there's all the little tests like traffic, parking lot at New Life, you know. The nasty email you received yesterday, you know. A conflict that escalates. You start a little conversation about George Bush in Iraq, and before you know it, you're ready to kill this person, you know. And they're cursing you, and you're cursing them, and you just totally lost it. And or maybe it's being a wimp, you know. And you know you should be truthful to this person, but you end up becoming a false peacemaker. You lie. Because you don't want to hurt their feelings. You don't want them to be upset with you. It's a test. But there are little ones that come every day to all of us. But then there's obviously big ones that come in life. So Jesus knows that life is hard. And he knows we struggle to trust him. And we need tests to grow up. Now, I don't know about you. I hate tests. I hated tests my whole school life. I mean, I cheated my way through chemistry 101. I mean, I cheated all through high school. Douglas did my homework. And then in senior year, I got the chemistry award and didn't understand a thing. It was amazing. I stood up and got the award. He was horrified. But I had the gift of gab, and Douglas did not. But I was able to cheat my way through those tests. You can't cheat your way around God's. He's bringing them into your life, whether you like them or not. And you cannot evade them. And he is going to put your faith and your trust in God, he's going to put it in fire to find out if it's real and to help it grow and mature. There is no other way. So, and God wants to eradicate all vestiges of rebellion in your heart. There is rebellion in all of our hearts at once. I'll do it my own way. And God, it's my way or the highway. And so God loves you. And so he's going to come into you to get rid of that, to purify you, and to cause your faith to be something. But remember, as the same experience of difficulty that God intends it for good as a test, the evil one comes and turns it into a temptation. And so you know that if you're sitting here today and, you know, you're defensive and you're judgmental and you're impulsive and you're prayerless and you're money crazy, or maybe you're very, very uptight about what other people think about you, or you always have to be right, or you're impatient or you're arrogant, I got news for you. You may need a test or two. You may need a little bit of fire. But understand this, God's doing it because he loves you. But at the same time that God's testing you and growing you up, the evil one comes right in to tempt you and say, to get you to say, I hate this. This is the Christian life. I'm out of here. God must hate me. God isn't good. God's not for me. This is how God treats his children. I want another religion. And at that moment, we are enticed out away from God. And that's why Jesus says, lead us not into temptation, into prayer, because there's an intense warfare going on around all of our lives, every single day, and an intense spiritual battle. And lead us not into temptation really could be translated, help me, Lord, not to give in to temptation today as I go my way. Because temptations are coming my way. And give me the power, give me the grace to not give in to the temptation and to rather to receive the gifts you have for me. Deliver me from the evil one, because there's a satanic power around me that wants to take me down. So really, it's we're involved in an intense spiritual battle, but the second truth is closely related to that, and that is this, that we desperately need God. Some of you are in politics. Basically, when Jesus says to pray this prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, it's a vote of no confidence in you and in me, that basically you are desperately needy. You cannot make it through even a day without his power and strength. You will get sucked down into temptation. You're that needy and dependent. Basically, you cannot be self-sufficient, and you can't make it any other way. We can't stand up under very much pressure, none of us in this room. Now, this prayer really is a desperate plea for God, help me. To bear me up. Basically, there's no sense of security. If you feel secure, you got it together, you're in trouble. If you feel self-sufficient, you're in trouble. Now, just to give you a quick glimpse of how, you know, just to kind of, again, give you a context of the powers of darkness that surround us, that come in many shapes and forms. I want to just share with you a few stats about the new technology that's come into our generation, which is the internet. And the power of the internet, which is really a positive thing on one level, isn't it? But has another zinger on another level. 16% of kids in America are now predisposed to gambling by the time they graduate from high school because of their internet activity. Child pornography generates about $3 billion annually in the U.S. and is one of the most profitable segments of the internet, and it's growing. The overall revenue from pornography on the internet is now larger than the combined revenues from basketball, football, baseball, and the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. In 2003, the largest consumers of internet pornography were 12 to 17-year-olds. 90% of 8 to 16-year-olds have viewed pornography online, usually while doing homework. Of course, they're just following mom and dad, because a 2005 survey revealed that 68% of men between the ages of 18 to 35 visit a porn site at least once a month. 40% of women are now increasingly visiting pornographic chat rooms. One study actually said up to 40% of women. 70% of porn site activity takes place between the time of 9 o'clock in the morning to 5 o'clock in the afternoon. 72% of companies have addressed internet misuse, reporting that the majority of cases at work were related to pornography. In fact, leading software publishers estimate that $83 billion a year is lost in productivity at American companies because of pornography. And recent research has shown that one of six employees now has trouble with sexual behavior online. Now, add that all up, and I can give you more. The challenge is, that's only the beginning, because internet use doubles every 100 days. Now, you talk about power, deliver us from the evil one. That's just one area of life. And Jesus is coming saying, I want you to understand that you are involved in an intense spiritual battle in life. There truly is an evil one. In fact, that word, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, literally in the original language is deliver us from the evil one. That's what it says, literally, the evil one, which is Satan. That there is a power and principality of darkness that wants to cripple you, destroy you, and bring you down. And make no mistake about it, as you approach your day, you are so dependent on God that lest you depend on him, you will not make it. So I pray the Lord, when I get to the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation. I'm praying, Lord, I'm in a battle here. I need you. Father, you know we can't stand up under much pressure. That's the truth. None of us. Don't let the good you're doing in me be something that cripples me. I am no match against the evil one without you. That's the key. Strengthen me with your power and your grace. Again, to not give in to temptation. And so think of Jesus with remember that parable of the tax collector and the sinner in Luke 18? It was a few weeks ago I shared about that. The tax collector was standing at the side praying, you know, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Pharisee was over here, he prays, he fasts, he gives a lot of money away, and he's very confident in himself. And Jesus basically said, that self-confidence is going to bring that guy down. When Jesus was going to the cross, he said to his disciples, his 12 disciples, before the rooster crows, you will all deny me 3 times. Remember? And then the apostle Peter says, even if everyone quits you, Lord, I will never quit. Never, never, Peter says. You see, Jesus knows that Peter is fragile. And Peter's confidence is in his faith. That's his problem. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, how many demons you've... Peter cast out demons and healed the sick. He preached, he'd watched Jesus for 3 years. It didn't matter. He was so fragile, he needed to be dependent on this prayer. Lead us, lead me, Lord, not into temptation today. Doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, what church you go to, how much you know, how gifted you are fragile and weak. Every church is weak and fragile. The minute we get off of Jesus, we're in trouble. Every ministry, every church, every person. How many of you, when you hear someone, oh, this person, you know, he fell. We're like, oh, no. I mean, guys, you should not be surprised. Lead us not into temptation. No, that person, just like you, just like me, we're all fragile. We're all dependent on God's strength and power every day. And the minute you go in your own strength, like Peter, if any man thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's all over the New Testament. If you think you stand, 1 Corinthians 10 says you're in trouble to fall. And so this prayer is really about a humility and a dependence that's absolute. Remember, Jesus himself, God incarnate in Gethsemane, was laid out prostrate before the Father, praying, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not your will, but my will. I mean, that I can do nothing except the Father enables me to do it. It's the sense of dependence. That's why they just say this prayer once a day like a magic wand. Friends, you're missing the whole point. This is a life of holding on. Lead me not into temptation, Lord, today, as things come my way. I love the image in Genesis 4 about Cain and Abel. When Cain is about to murder Abel, and the Lord speaks to Cain and says, Cain, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to master you. And it's a great image of sin as hidden, as complex, as dangerous. It's like a hungry lion wanting to devour us. And a dangerous animal, ready to leap. And it's an aggressive force ready to ambush anybody who thinks it's not there. And that's this prayer, Lord, deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one, that we have the ability to master it, because God will never put you in a temptation that you can't handle. 1 Corinthians 10:13. He'll always provide a way out. Always. It's a very important promise. 1 Corinthians 10:13. If you don't know it by heart, memorize that promise. God is faithful, will always provide a way of escape that you'll be able to bear under it. The issue is, do you take it? In the power and the strength of Jesus. But every day you're being confronted with temptations, with enticements to succumb and pull away from Jesus, not trust God, not put your faith in him, not wait on him, but to go your own way and do your own thing. You know, I love that prayer. You know, Father, you know I can't stand up under much pressure. Can I hear an amen for that? I can't. You're probably saying, oh, Pete, you can't. No, I can't. Don't let the good you're doing in me, Lord, be something that cripples me. Because God is allowing tests in your life because he loves you and he wants to mature you. But I am no match against the evil one without you. So, Lord, strengthen me with your power and your grace today. Lead me not into temptation. I love Henry Nouwen's definition of sin. And he describes it out of the story of the prodigal son, that when we leave the Father's embrace of love for us, and we forget that, we wander from home, we're lost. That's what he defines sin. When you wander from the love of the Father, that's the root of it. Everything else is going to follow after that. When that center, which God says to you and to me, you are my son whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. Or you're my daughter whom I love, with you I'm well pleased. And he writes this, over and over again, I have left home. I have fled the hands of blessing and run to faraway places searching for love. That's the great tragedy of my life and the lives of so many people I meet on the journey. somehow I become deaf to the voice that calls me, you are loved. And I listen to all the other voices, the dark voices of my surrounding world that try to persuade me that I'm no good. And I can only become good by earning my goodness through making it up the ladder of success. So, here's what I'd like us to do. Lead me not into temptation. We talk a lot about slowing down. That's one of our great thrusts, is that we are trying by God's grace to slow down our lives. It's a challenge, isn't it? Slow down so we can be reflective internally and before God. And we don't beat to the drum of our culture, but rather to God's voice and God's rhythms. Great challenge. So mostly we've talked about reflecting on what's happened before us. This prayer is about reflecting and pausing about what's coming in my life. What's ahead for me? That's why I'm calling this discipline the prayer of preparation. Now think of those last three prayers. Give us this day our daily bread. That's present. Forgive us our sins or our trespasses. That's about the past. And now this one is about the future. Lead us, lead me not into temptation. This is about my day that's ahead of me. That's why, it's great to pray this 3-4 times a day. So here's what we're going to do. I want to lead you through this, and we're going to actually do it here at the end of the service, the prayer of preparation. So hopefully you can get this off the internet on our website, or you can write this down. Just, Martin Luther, supposedly, he went to bed praying, forgive us our debts, and that prayer of examine, but then he woke up every day praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, to prepare for his day. So here it is. It's a tool. I hope some of you will use it. I've used it now for 3 days. It's been quite good. And we'll see. So here, first I'm going to ask you to consider or list the interactions and other activities in front of you this day. Like, it's now, it's 12:35, all right? You've got your afternoon and evening ahead of you. Think of the people you're going to meet, lunch, what you'll be doing, the kind of activities you'll be involved in. Maybe at lunch you're going to be interacting with a person who has hurt you in the past. And it is interesting how this follows, help us forgive those who've hurt us, and maybe you're going to be having lunch with one of those people. And you say, Lord, lead me, not into temptation, Lord, guide me. Or maybe you're going to be eating lunch with somebody you've had a conflict with. Or maybe you need to say something truthful at lunch, and your tendency is, you'll shut your mouth. But you say, Lord, just lead me in that lunch meeting to do your will. And then maybe you're going to do some email tonight or this afternoon. And first of all, maybe you don't want to do email. But if you do, maybe again, you know what it's like. You're expecting an email from somebody, and when you do, it'll be like an adrenaline rush right through your body. And your temptation will be just to shoot back an angry response. But now you're praying in advance, lead me not into temptation, God, help me as I open that email. Maybe you're going to make some phone calls tonight. Say, God, Lord, guide me in those phone calls. Lead me not into temptation. Maybe you're going to be just having dinner with your family, your wife, your children, your close friends, and you're not expecting anything difficult, but maybe your tendency would be to go and watch, 6 hours of TV, rather than interact or engage. But Lord, God, lead me not into temptation. It's important that you know your vulnerabilities. Maybe today's your Sabbath. Hopefully for many of you, this is your Sabbath. This is your day of rest. You're stopping, you're resting, you're delighting, you're contemplating God. Maybe it started Saturday night, it goes to Sunday night, I don't know. But maybe part of your lead me not into temptation is you're already anxious about tomorrow at school or work or your lack of work or your lack of money. And you say, you know what? I'm going to let God run the universe. Help me, Lord, to relax today and just be and not make any decisions or worry about running the world. And that's your temptation today. You say, Lord, lead me this day. Or maybe you got to stay away from the internet completely, or maybe the kind of movie you're going to pick up from a Blockbuster, I don't know. So you're going to list your activities in a second, all right? Number two, then you got to remember two things. Remember that you are battling the evil one, because Jesus wants you to know that as you pray this prayer, and who seeks to lead you away from God and his will, that basically God isn't good and his love does not endure forever for you. That's the crux of it. We'll talk about that next week. Number three, remember God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Remember that too. Because sometimes it can feel overwhelming. And more than one person has said to me, no, you don't understand, Pete, this thing has me by the neck. It's like crack cocaine. I cannot stop. But God has a promise for you. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. He will provide a way of escape. And we're going to pray for you later. And then finally I invite you to pray the prayer to him. Abba, Father, I'm absolutely dependent on you today for power. So I don't give in to temptation. Simple. I am dependent on power, so I don't give in to temptation today. Help me grow and mature in these challenges I will face today. All right? So I'm going to give you about a minute and a half, all right, to 2 minutes. And I'd like you just, again, this is about engaging in a relationship with a living God, and Jesus is giving us some structure, blueprint, helps to do it. All right? So let's take a minute or two, and I invite you to pray it back to God. And let's pray. So, Lord, you know we are surrounded by so many diverse and powerful temptations that would pull us away from you each day, each one of us in this room, Lord. So, Father, we pray this prayer together. Lord, we are, Abba, Father, absolutely dependent on you for power, Lord, so that we do not give in this day to the temptations that face us. So, Lord, help us not give in. Enable us to grow on the challenges you have before us, because, Lord, you are doing a good thing in us. You're seeking to grow us up. So I pray blessings, Lord, on all these men and women, all of us in this room, Lord. Do a profound work in us that of humility, that we, Father, would wait on you. We would depend on you. We would say like Jesus, I can do nothing except through the Father. And so we bless you. Lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, everybody. Let's make this our prayer back to Christ together. The Christian life is obviously, it's a life, and it's not simply an event in a moment. And so this whole prayer is one that's hopefully our lives, right? We're praying it all the time. But there are moments that are very critical along that journey where God just breaks a chain off us and sets us free. Now, this prayer is lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So it's not just me personally, it's us as a body recognizing how fragile we all are. We're in this thing together and we're helping each other. And so some of you sitting here, you know who you are. You got a chain on you. Maybe it's got your leg. Maybe it's got your whole body, you know, but may just be a piece of your life. Maybe it's bitterness and hatred. We talked about that last week, that tremendous power of unforgiveness and bitterness, and it's got us, and it may have you as a chain. Maybe it's an addiction. I don't know. Maybe it's a relationship that's just, it's one. It's just, you keep getting pulled down in this thing. I don't know. You know. As we close here, I want to invite you forward, and we want to pray for you. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your sexuality. And we've got some teams up here. We're going to lay hands on you and pray that God will break it. That's part of the journey. We're in this thing together. We're all fragile and weak. That's this verse. We're all that dependent on Jesus to lead us and strengthen us that we might not give in to the temptations before us. Tomorrow, you're going to work or school. Most of you, maybe you're an at-home mom. You've got your set of temptations in front of you. And I want to encourage you, pray that prayer preparation. Just try it for a week. See what God does. Watch that just makes you a bit more sensitive and aware to his presence. But the altar team is going to be here, and we spent a good time praying first service with people. So don't rush out. Okay, we'll keep it quiet in here, and our worship team will lead us. Let's talk downstairs, and if we can leave quietly, that would be great, because God is not finished with many people in this room yet. All right, so I want to pray. I want to dismiss you. And we're going to stay here as long as we need to stay here for prayer and ministry time and over here on your left side. So you come from the balcony. We'll take our time. No one's rushing anywhere. And we'll worship and let this place be filled with praise. And you can sit there and pray and do whatever work you got to do with God. Let him do that work in you. Okay? All right, let's all bow as we're dismissed. And the communion table is open as well. For all those who like to have communion, take and eat and drink of the body and blood of Jesus to ingest him as your life. Okay, it's available as well as we close. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the truth that sets us free. It is true that we are weak. And it is true that without you, we cannot withstand the evil one. We will go down. So we come to you, Lord, humbly as your people. And we grab hold of the hem of your garment, Lord. We grab hold of you, Lord Jesus, that your life would come into our life, Lord. Your power, the Holy Spirit might fill us and saturate us now. And Lord, that you might set people free up here at this altar area. That you might break chains, Lord, that some folks have carried for years, Lord. You might open the eyes of blind people in our midst, Lord. And Lord, that people might walk out of here actually up, standing upright in you. So Lord, may the power of the gospel be really come in this room right now. May we receive it as a people. And may the good hand of the Lord rest upon all of you as you go. May his face shine upon you and give you peace. May you know his peace and his rest and have the faith of a child to trust him. Be blessed as you go. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody. Blessings to you. Altar's open.